We're live. Okay, it's about 9:10 on December 1st, and we are, make sure it's working right, we are interviewing Jeff Morris. So, we get started. Name and hometown.
My name is Jeff Morris, and originally I was from Hereford, Texas, but I've lived in San Angelo since about 1983.
Okay. You a member of any bass clubs?
The Paul Ann Bass Club.
All right. Talk to me about your favorite local lakes.
Probably my favorite local lake now, just because I don't get out a whole lot, is probably Twin Buttes. I do enjoy fishing from time to time on Nasworthy, but probably Twin Buttes.
Why?
Just fished it long enough that there's a number of places I usually can go and very seldom not catch fish, which anybody likes to go and catch fish.
All right, so we'll start delving into your psyche as far as fishing techniques. What's your favorite one?
Probably just because I like to be doing something, I probably enjoy throwing a crankbait. If the conditions are right, I love a buzzbait in the spring and summer, early fall. Watching a fish blow up on the top water is just really fun. But that's probably favorite. Then getting to my three favorite lures, they're probably then my spinnerbait. It's a pretty good all-around producer. I throw it just about year-round. Always keep one tied on, some kind, and have a lot of confidence in it. And then probably a worm after that.
Knowing that Scott and I are lagging as far as your experience goes, what is some advice that you can get for?
Well, I'm not that experienced, but I think the things that I do know is trying a variety of baits, and really the basic ones, a buzz bait, a spinner bait, a crank bait, and a worm. With the idea being that you can start at the top and work your way down till you find where the fish are, or vice versa. And if you take those five basic baits, and there's all kinds of things you can do with them and other things in between, but learn how to fish those four or five basic lures and how to present them, get comfortable. Not that you got to have four different kinds of spinner bait, but if you have one and you get comfortable with how to work it different ways, know what it feels like in the water, know when a fish hits it, what as opposed to hitting a stick or whatever. Same way with working a worm. Practice flipping, practice your casting, and work it around rock ledges, work it around trees. Crankbaits, a couple different crankbaits and a couple of colors I use. Later I'm going to talk about some of my favorite fishermen. I remember years ago seeing Wendell Ramsey, who is one of the really great fishermen that I've ever known. His tackle box was in a little paper bag, and he had just a handful of different baits in there, and that was it. And the guy always caught fish and big fish and could win a tournament on any given day. And it really, for me, it showed that it's about technique and how you work the bait and present it, more than it was having a huge tackle box full of baits and spending a lot of money. Spend your time fishing and, buy a good reel and rod, but spend your time fishing instead of accumulating a lot of lures. And just get out there and if you find something, it's always easy to want to go back and fish the same pattern. And if it's working, do try it. But you know, I think it's easy for us when we get on a pattern, you can just beat it to death and you don't try new things. And I think one of the things that helped me years ago when I started, I mean, I knew nothing when I started fishing, but I was real fortunate in that I had some guys in the bass clubs at that time that I was in, the old City Bass Club, St. Angelo ISD City Club, and the Bass Busters, and some of the guys that just in their kindness showed me some things. I'm thinking of Jim Brown and Doyle Riddle and Russell Smith and these guys that took me out and showed me. They gave me confidence in fishing these different baits that I'd never fished before and doing it in a variety of ways. And every time I could go with one of them, I would learn something new that I didn't know. And so it was just like one trip with one of them was worth more than, you know, hearing 100 stories. But believe me, every time we was at a meeting or something, you know, I was listening, asking questions, filing away in my mind where we were, how did we catch fish, where was the spot, what the fish were doing, and then trying to find other places like that so that I could take that information and use it. And I think that's what those guys that are really good, they've been fishing for years and they remember things. And so they're like an encyclopedia of knowledge.
What's your opinion of the conditions of the local fishing?
Well, you know, sadly, I think, you know, a lot of the clubs, which I'm really not, you know, into the club fishing like I was before, but you know, it's sad because the city club is not even functioning and some of the others are down, you know. Really excited, you know, with the guys at Paul Lamb because, you know, we're fishing, 15 to 20 guys in a tournament and I have a good group that shows up each month for our meeting. But, you know, there's a reason and a purpose in what we're doing with the club that, you know, it's not just about the fishing. And so that excites me. But sadly, you know, I think the low water conditions over the last few years really hurt the bass clubs. And, you know, at the rate they're dropping Twin Buttes, I hate to think of what's going to happen in another 2 years if we don't get some rain. But, you know, because it's hard for a lot of guys to drive to Ivy or to Amstead, you know, to go fishing on a regular basis.
Favorite true fishing story?
Oh, there's a lot of stories, you know, you've been fishing. But I think one for me that was pretty fun was Jim Brown one day called me and I'm thinking of two stories. I'll tell you two stories, but Jim Brown called me one day and I was really new to fishing. He's like, we're going to go fish with a spinner bait. And he said, just bring a spinner bait. And I was like, I don't know. I never catch anything on a spinner bait. And he said, oh, spinner bait's good. He said, just bring one. And so I was like, all right. So I got a spinner bait and tied it on. We went down to the river and we were fishing in the river and in his boat. And I don't know how long we fished. It was really a bad day for fishing, I guess, in a lot of ways. And we weren't catching many fish. And I was kind of like, yep, these things don't. And about that time, I caught it's about a 9.5-pound bass, which was the biggest bass I've ever caught. And caught that thing on that spinner bait. And so that was a pretty amazing day because I had no confidence. And since that time, like I said, spinner bait is one bait that I do like to fish now. Another true story that was kind of funny was happened with Jim Brown also. Some years ago, we like to fish together every once in a while. And it was in the summer. And a friend of mine, Justin Brumley, was making a commercial. TV commercial, and they had this idea that they were going to film this air conditioning repairman who supposedly would sell you a unit, but when you needed service, he was always too busy to come and fix it, but in reality he was out fishing, and so he wouldn't come and do the repairs, and as opposed to his company where, you know, they'd get right to you. So we were going to film it that morning, and they needed us to be in the boat. We were going to play the other TV repairman, the other air conditioning repairman that were out fishing. So we needed to go catch some fish. So there's a little pressure that morning we had to get up and be sure we went and caught some decent fish before this scheduled TV shoot at like 9 o'clock in the morning. So Jim and I got up early and we went out to Nasworthy, and sure enough, we caught I think we had one that might've been close to 2 pounds. And so we got ready to film, and I hooked him on my hook, and then just kind of let out some line. And when they were ready, then you'd set the hook on the fish and you'd bring it in, you know, as your friend was talking on the phone saying that we were too busy, you know, and I'm fighting the fish to get him in. Well, they had to do like 3 takes. And so the fish was real lively the first time, a little less lively the second time. And the third time, I just kind of let the line out. And I mean, I'm hoping he wasn't going to die or anything. And he's just kind of wore out, you know. And all of a sudden, as we were waiting on the cameraman to get ready, I felt kind of my line tug, and that fish just kind of like got a surge and pulled down to the bottom there in the rocks. And I thought, what the heck? About that time, the cameraman said, you know, he was ready. And so I set the hook again, like I was setting the hook, really. And as I reached down to lift that bass, there was a crawdad in its mouth, a big old crawdad. And that bass, even being hooked and having been messed with, like apparently saw a crawdad crawling along the bottom and went and hit it with the hook in its mouth. I mean, it just kind of, I was like, wow, now that's some kind of basic instinct in that bass to make it do that. You know, there was that big old crawdad stuck in its throat, you know, so that was pretty weird.
Catch and release?
Yes, bass, that's all we do is we emphasize that with the club is catch and release. Now, I love to eat crappie, catch crappie, and, you know, we've gone once or twice, but and every once in a while I like to
hook us up with some.
put out my jugs and everything and maybe catch some catfish. So we love fish fry, but usually it's just crappie or catfish.
All right. Personally.
And, what about my favorite recipe?
Oh, do you have one?
Well, one thing I found that works really good is I use Uncle Buck's fish fry. You can buy it. I believe Academy carries it. I know Bass Pro Shops carries it. And used to, some of the local stores had it, but I like to get their seasoned. It comes in original and seasoned. And I like to take the season, and it's got a little bit of spice in it. If you use it straight, it's a little too spicy for my wife and kids, but I like it straight. But I found that for just about anybody, if you'll take that and you mix it 50-50 with regular cornmeal, it gets it to the right seasoning that it's not too strong, but it adds enough garlic and spices to it that it gives it a really good flavor and a good color. And then I just take and, you know, wash my fillets up real good and turn them in that cornmeal and fry them up. And that's how I fry up my fish. That's how I do it.
Personal hero.
Or is that just anybody?
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's a number of people.
Who came to your mind first?
I think one of the guys that has had a big influence in my life is Tim Russo. Just a super Christian man. They have ministry in town, Winning Families. And I met him some years ago and church, and we became friends. And you know, he's really been an example of how to live the Christian life, raise a family. They've got four daughters, just super neat young ladies. And I think as we watched those girls grow up, I was impressed with the way that he loved his wife, the way he raised his kids. And I think my wife and I thought, you know, if we could do it, that'd be somebody we'd like to do our family like. And so I say a hero, I think a model would really be. I mean, you know, I think Christ is our model as Christians. But if I was to name somebody who I'm like, man, I know he would say he's not perfect. But if I could say, hey, there's somebody who's doing it right, that's somebody that I would look up to. And just a neat guy, and really been influential in my life and my wife and my girls. And so I have a lot of respect for him.
All right. In your opinion, who are the three best local?
Now, this is a little tough because I've kind of been out of the circuit a little bit for a few years. But I know there's, you know, two of them easily. You know, I would say that Wendell Ramsey, who writes the fishing in the paper, he's unbelievable. I don't think there's anyone better. There may be others who are just as good, but I mean, he's just one of the best all around fishermen I've ever seen. And that guy I mentioned a number of times, Jim Brown, he's a PE teacher here in town, and just a super guy, and a great fisherman. Amazing how he can catch fish. You know, there's so many, I hate to leave somebody out, but those are two that, if, you know, I never really got to fish with Wendell, but I saw him fish, and I know he's really good. But, you know, if I had to pick somebody to be on my team in a tournament situation, and I could pick anybody in town, it'd probably be one of those two guys that I would call. You know, Russell Smith, who used to do the local paper, man, he's a wealth of knowledge and really knew a lot. Charlie Becker, Doyle Riddle, those guys all were great fishermen. I also want to make a thing for our club, and I would say that right now in Paul Ann, which we've got a pretty good club and guys that bring in good stringers of fish and everything, but last year, Justin Houck was just unbelievable, and then Roy Kavnis, those guys were just battling all year for first place, just super fishermen, just amazing. They come in every time with good fish, but this year, Brian Dorman has just been on fire, and he and Roy are again just fighting it out neck and neck. So I'd say in our club, I definitely those two guys, Roy and Brian, are probably right now two of the best fishermen in the club.
All righty, Jeff, we're gonna go ahead and wrap it up here, and let me go ahead and get this thing turned off.